You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
To the William Hill Racing Podcast. This is Monday's edition, looking ahead to the action on Monday. So I suppose it's Sunday's edition to a point, but anyway. We've got plenty to go at. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair with Paddy Aspel. Good afternoon, Paddy.
How are you, Alex?
I'm well, how are you?
Yeah, good fun, thanks.
Got plenty to go at. We've had some fantastic racing over the last couple of days. We're recording this mid-Sunday afternoon, it's around about 1:30, and we are just off the back of seeing the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle win over in Ireland, and that was Sir Eric. Was 6-1 prior to the race, maybe second favourite just prior to the race, with Fakir Duderi being fairly popular since that win at Cheltenham. But he was impressive, Sir Eric, today, and he was trimmed with us at William Hill into 7-2, and immediately trimmed again into 3-1. Mm. And who knows, by the time you're listening to this, he may be even shorter.
Yeah, I mean, Dave sort of put the question to me straight away afterwards about should his price move much on the back of that, and I didn't think it should, because you'd be raging if you liked them beforehand and you hadn't been on, because I literally think that, you know, with all the non-runners, it was a little bit of a, I won't say non-event, because look, there were some high-class horses in there that were re-opposing each other, but they just let him have such an easy time on the front end, and he's such a professional horse. He jumps well, travels well, and from the second last, it was only a case of not who was going to win, but who was going to get a bit of daylight in second and chase him home, you know, because they weren't going to catch him. So he'd had such an easy time on the front end, and even for, you know, a horse that stays very nicely, you know, having had such an easy lead and jumped so fluently in front, they weren't going to get past him, you know, not off levels. And really, in the end, the one that did chase him home was the horse who actually came down the wide outside with a clear passage in the other McManus horse, Gardens of Babylon, Barry Geraghty. So, I mean, I'm not trying to knock Sir Eric in any way, because it's not his fault that he got an easy lead and there was scrimmaging in behind. You know, all he could do was go and win. He jumped A flights of hurdles very, very well, and he's got a really likeable attitude, but I didn't think his price would really alter that much on the back of how that race was run, you know.
He has halved in price, and you mentioned scrimmaging there. Likely that you'll see a fair bit of that in the Triumph Hurdle, but you'd be surprised if he gets that kind of free rein out in front again.
Oh, of course, yeah. And I mean, to be honest, whether the plan was even to make the running was debatable, because, you know, but the fields have just cut up so much with the ground tightening up overnight at Leopardstown. Connections have probably thought that because he has got such a good professional attitude, that why just keep it simple? You know, we know he jumps well, you know, and he's professional, to just keep it simple and get on with it, and no one else was keen to make the running, so for me he just got a proper freebie on the front end. But, you know, nonetheless, even if you do get a freebie, you've got to be good enough to take it, and, you know, he was. But I thought we learned far more about him at Christmas time than what we did today, because the Tap Tap Boom really put it up to him at Christmas time, and I think really probably didn't want it as much as Sir Eric. But I was on Tap Tap Boom today because I thought maybe Ruby will have sort of learned an awful lot about the horse that day, and, you know, we know he's such a canny rider, he would have had an idea in his head to try and beat Sir Eric today, because he would have needed it. You know, because he's a fine horse, Sir Eric. We've got to remember that, you know, this is a horse who, you know, he's not been abused on the flat, he's very low mileage.
I was just watching a race back. He didn't finish Fabian Stradivarius not too long ago.
No, he was just over a couple of lengths behind him on Champions Day. And I mean, I think he only had something like 5 flat runs, you know, so he wasn't abused. And we've also got to remember that Ken told us on the when he was trackside there, that this is still a full horse. So he's a fine, big, you know, brute of an animal. As horses are left cold further into their life, they do develop stronger and they are just sort of bigger, more solid units. So that could stand them in good stead as long as his mindset stays right. So,
yeah.
But for me, I'd be disappointed if I hadn't got on an hour ago. And then I've watched that race thinking, oh, my price is halved. I would feel a little bit shortchanged, but nonetheless, you know,
he's the right favourite though.
I think so, but I think he deservedly should have been clipped in today because he's gone and won another very good race, but I think he had to work far harder to win the last day than what he did today because of the way the race was run.
Countdown to Cheltenham continues. We're going to focus on some action on Monday, and by the way, there is some more top quality racing to look forward to. By the time you listen to this, we'll have already been and gone. We've still got it to look forward to as we speak, and that'll be reflected on, including the Irish Gold Cup, that'll be reflected on in the Monday jury on tomorrow's podcast. And also, it goes without saying, Paddy, I mentioned it on yesterday's podcast with Will Haler, but of course we lost Special Tiara on Saturday. Henry de Bromhead's stable star for many a year, and he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, for sure. It just goes to show you can think of the amount of fences that this horse has jumped both on and off the track, and you know, the amount of battles he's been in, and you know, we've seen him so many times been breathtaking around his beloved sort of Sandown and Kempton, and you know, a real sort of front runner, bold jumping front running type, and then yesterday gets injured on the flat. So I mean, look, the way I look at it is the old horse has gone out doing something that he still relished and enjoyed and still showed an awful lot of ability, and it just goes to show that maybe there was something niggling there because he sustained the injury in between obstacles on the flat, so there was obviously something just lurking there, and unfortunately it went yesterday, but like I say, he went out doing what he loved, but yeah, it is. It's a bit sore when you lose the good ones, isn't it? Especially sort of the ones that are more household names, and it will be a big loss to both the De Bromhead team and the owners because he's been a terrific servant down the years.
Absolutely. Right, we're going to focus on Monday's action. There's racing subject to an inspection at Taunton over obstacles, but we're going to focus on racing that should be going ahead. We've got Chelmsford and we've got Wolverhampton to look forward to, Paddy, and we're going to start with the opening race.
Yep. Because I think Chelmsford was a last minute replacement, wasn't it? Because they're only doing the decks this morning, I think. And then obviously Taunton is sort of a part of the country where they've had it far worse than us weather wise. So I'm not sure what their chances are just now, but I'd imagine it's pretty much in the balance. So just to keep it safe and hopefully have a couple of definite pointers, I have gone to Wolverhampton. And I've gone in the very first race, which is an apprentice hands and heels race over 7 furlongs. It's not a very strong event. It's a 0-55, and what I would say about the bulk of these horses is that they're not coming into the race in any great form, so you would probably wonder maybe why I have taken a selection in this race, but I just thought the horse in particular, the one I'm talking about is Lord Cooper from Marjorie Fifeshard. He just ticked plenty of boxes for me because he's drawn quite nicely in two. He is 2 from 4 at the track. And Marjorie Fife, who is a very, very good operator, to say she only has a small number of horses, they've gone for the blinkers tomorrow. And we've seen, although Marjorie hasn't been that busy with runners of late, she took one to Chelmsford yesterday, one of the other replacement fixtures, and ran very well on the front end. It was only just collared late on. And now this Lord Cooper has dropped a fair way in the weights. He's now down to 55. And I mean, in the past, the last time he was successful around Wolverhampton, it was off a mark of, where are we now, 75. And I mean, he's been placed off sort of higher marks in the past as well. He's not got his head in front since then, and that was March 2017. So, but nonetheless, he has been placed a few times, and the one thing that probably made me fall on this chap tomorrow was the fact that he just showed a fair bit more last time, albeit round Lingfield, but wasn't beaten far, and like I said, has dropped to a very, very attractive mark, and the fact that these shrewd connections have decided just to pop a bit of headgear on him tomorrow, maybe they're thinking that this 5-year-old just needs a little bit of help to get his head back in front, And the fact of the matter is, they've got him in a very winnable race with a good draw. I don't know much about the jockey, to be honest, but I think the bulk of these horses are coming into the race in pretty average recent form. So for me, I just thought he was worth a shot.
Okay. That's in the first race at Wolverhampton, the apprentice contest to kickstart the cards. Where's your second fancy? What time?
I've gone in the third race in the conditions stakes. I mean, we haven't got many runners here, and unfortunately, the Charlie Appleby horse Boynton is already a non-runner, so that just leaves us with the five. Nonetheless, still a very competitive field. We've got the old boy in Michel Strogoff, but he's only 6-year-old, but seems to have been around a long time. Mm. Really has been very good for connections, but the one I have gone for here is the Jamie Osborne Trent Hathal, who I think they've placed his 7-year-old very, very well. Still a full horse, to be honest, Hathal, so it'll be interesting to see what the plans are with this chap. But they took him to France 2 runs back, where he was third in a listed race, and I mean, to be honest, just got a little bit done for toe that day, but did stay on quite nicely and wasn't beaten all that far in the end. And that was on the poly track at Deauville and then at Wolverhampton last time, where he had Michel Strogoff 3 lengths back in third, won quite nicely under tomorrow's jockey Nicola Curry, although he did just hang fire a little bit in the closing stages and just hung left a little bit across the track. He's still done it very, very nicely, and I think Jamie Osborne has really campaigned this horse very, very well. And if he arrives here tomorrow in the same sort of form as what he has been holding for around about the last 3 or 4 months, because his last 3 runs he's not been out of the money, and he certainly has paid his way, especially picking up that bit of place money in listed company in Deauville. So I think tomorrow, if he can get a nice run round from stall 5, it'll be interesting to see what Richie Heanscourt does on course specialist Arcanada for the Tom Dascombe team, who are in very good order. But if the same Hathal turns up that was here 4 weeks ago, I think he's got an excellent chance of going back to back for Jamie Osborne and Nicola Curry.
Okay, good stuff, Paddy. Then a couple of fancies on Monday, Wolverhampton. Good luck if you're following him in, listeners. And don't forget, you can tune into William Hill Racing Radio for all of the action tomorrow. If you are looking to do so, we've got James Millman in the presenter's chair, and he'll be joined by Andy Holding and one other pundit. Do you know who the other one is, Paddy?
Be the great Lord again, won't he?
It is Lord, but
he
you're right.
The Monday shift.
Yes, that is true. So make sure you tune in to Racing Radio, slightly later start time as well. Tomorrow, it's more like the summer. I think 1:45 the first race. So if you are tuning in, then very best luck with your bets. And don't forget, William Hill's Betting TV is also live from 8 a.m. through till 2 a.m. for all of your US horse racing and domestic greyhound needs as well. Thank you, Mr. Aspel.
No worries, thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.